The threefold peal reminds us of that gospel truth. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. All that we do in this place today is in the name of the one who is risen and who will return. Let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand and sing Worthy of Worship.
Greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We welcome all of you into this place, for it's the Lord himself who welcomes us. If you're a visitor with us today, we especially want to greet you, and we invite you, if you will, to take a visitor card found on the back of the pew in front of you, and if you'd fill that out and place that in the offering plate today so that we can get to know you better and build a friendship with you that we hope will last for a long time to come. Today, as we worship, it's a special occasion, a special Sunday, when we select out from amongst the body those who are called to serve, to be the servants of the church. And one of those that's coming onto the deacon group this year is Sandy French, who is coming today to be ordained. So we're going to wrestle with that. What does that mean? What does that mean for Sandy? What does that mean for us? What is it that God is up to in this thing called deacon? And so I invite you to think even now and prepare your hearts for that message. Today, there are many of you who are here for the first time, which can be a little overwhelming. I know, I remember when I was here for the first time, that was even more overwhelming. But there are many new faces today in this place, so I invite you to just take a moment to stand and turn to those around you, especially those you've not met. Introduce yourself. You can say the peace of Christ be with you, or the Lord be with you, or just, hey, welcome. Would you please stand and greet one another?
Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. We are each called to celebrate the important moments in life with each other, such as birthdays, awards and promotions, weddings, and new life. If you are interested in celebrating the important moments, prayerfully consider joining the celebrations team. You can see me after the service today, or you can see Susan Reinheimer. Thank you.
In the coming weeks, you'll be hearing from the 5 different deacon ministry teams. And you'll notice in your bulletin, there is a insert in there that if you are interested in serving on this team, you can simply write your name, your contact information on that insert and place it in the offering plate as it's passed around later on this morning during the worship time. Each Sunday and the next 5 Sundays, you'll hear from one of these ministry teams and have an opportunity to sign up and serve and help for this team celebrate the big moments in life. As we gather here in this day, may we find comfort and focus in God's Word. Reading from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, as we gather in this place today, we are reminded that wherever two or more are gathered in Your name, You are with us, and we feel Your presence with us. We feel the Spirit in the songs that have been sung and the songs that will be sung later on in worship. We hear Your voice in the reading of Scripture. We'll hear the challenge from the sermon and the call to serve in the ordination process. Father God, You are speaking. May we open our ears to hear You this day. Father, we have been lifelong stewards and servants of Your Word, and we seek to find direction and meaning in all that we do. And as we gather in this place, we recite the prayer that You taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's praise and worship the Lord together as we sing All That Thrills My Soul, hymn number 429. Please stand.
Thank you.
This week, our prayer revolution focus is the college team here at First Baptist Church of Elon. As we minister adjacent to a campus that we love and that we support, we also need to serve in this place and serve our college students. So, college students, a word to you. I'm sure as you walked in today, you probably got welcomed and greeted by many different people. Some of those people had nice little name tags on their shirts or on their coats. These are our college teams, and they are here. They are here for you. That is their goal. That is their purpose, is to serve and honor you in this place. And so I want to talk to you and speak to you and say, if you ever need anything, have a question about anything, please find one of our college team members. They are here. Today they'll be hosting a lunch following worship service. I hope you'll, college students, I hope you'll go and enjoy the time of fellowship with our college team and other college students today. But most importantly, here as the congregation, we have a duty. We have a responsibility to lift up not only our college, but those in our midst that seek to serve our college students, our college team. So this day and this week, I encourage you to lift up those college team members. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I am thankful for the hearts and the willingness to serve that the members of our college team represent and show. I am thankful for their dedication and their desire to love and support the students, not just from Elon, but all our college students. Father God, we lift their ministry up to you, the opportunities they provide, like a simple lunch this afternoon, or further down the road, the ministry opportunities that they will have in reaching out to our college students. We just ask that you continue to bless them. Bless the campuses that we are sitting neighbor to. Bless the campuses that each college student represents. And Father, we lift up the team that seeks to serve you in this place. We place the college team in your hands this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand for the offertory hymn, Serve the Lord with Gladness, number 495. Please stand.
Thank you.
of the prayer, please move quietly to the back of the sanctuary for Children's Church. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing each of us here today. Bless each gift and each giver. And let us always be a witness for you in all we say and do. Amen.
the Lord of wind and flame. I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I will hold your people in my heart.
Amen. Let us hold the people in our hearts as we go to the Lord in prayer. Comfort, O comfort your people, O Lord. Those who are hurting and afflicted, bring your healing. For those who are weeping and mourning and in sorrow, bring hope, bring laughter. For those, Lord, who are discouraged, frustrated by life and work and family, O Lord, bring your peace and your presence. For those who are alone, may they know that you never leave us nor forsake us, that you, the Lord of all creation, are with them. For those, Lord, who are lost, would you light a candle and show them the way and bring for them salvation. For those in our world, Lord, who are hungry and hurting, naked, or facing war-torn situations day in and day out, O God of all creation, would you come and make all things new and make all things right? For we confess, O Lord, we need you. O God, we need you so desperately in our lives, for we are fallen people, broken people, sinful people. Touch the coal to our lips and make us clean. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, this is our prayer. Amen. Verse from Matthew 23, verse 11. This is what Christ has to say for us. The greatest among you will be your servant. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, where I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out of, turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, through this pain and the offering. Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out of, turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Was the final game of the season. They were undefeated. And there were all the players on the field ready to make their mark in local history. And then there at the end of the bench was little Calhoun, a short runt, as scrawny as could be, Couldn't weigh 70 pounds soaking wet, but there he was. More of a glorified water boy than a member of the team. Never played a game. But this was the last game of the season, and it was his senior year. It was the last game of his life, if you know what that feels like. And there they were in the fourth, and they were winning by a landslide. And in the stands, you could hear Calhoun's father scream at the top of his lungs, like only a proud father can, "Give Calhoun the ball!" Because this would be it. His one and last opportunity to ever have some game time. "Give Calhoun the ball" soon turned into a small chant as a few others who knew and loved this scrawny little runt of a boy began to also cheer, "Give Calhoun the ball." Play after play was run and the scoreboard began to run out of numbers. And yet Calhoun still had never played. By this time, even the fans on the other side of the field were chanting, "Give Calhoun the ball! Give Calhoun the ball!" And finally, just moments left in the game, the coach puts little Calhoun in the game. He runs and falls and stumbles and makes his way to the huddle, and everybody is cheering. They're going crazy. Both sides now are in the same cheer. "Yay, give Calhoun the ball! Give Calhoun the ball!" But they're in the huddle for far too long, and there's a flag. They move the ball back, and yet the crowd continues to cheer, "Give Calhoun the ball!" But they're in the huddle too long again. Something's the matter. "Give Calhoun the ball!" And finally the quarterback yells back to the stands, "Calhoun said he don't want the ball!" We all think we know what we want sometimes in life until we find out it might hurt, it might be difficult. I imagine little Calhoun took one look at some of those linemen and thought, maybe not. I think about that when I think about the role of deacon. When I was a kid, I had this fantasy about deacons. You know, these were the men and women who were famous in the church. Everybody looked up to them. If they served long enough, they got their picture up on the wall. They became famous. I learned the difference between honorary and ornery deacons, too, and found out that that was something amazing, too. To have that lifetime role. Many people think that same way, even as adults. We look at that role of deacon and think, that would be something, wouldn't it? To have everybody looking up to us, to have that position of authority, and to be able to have my voice matter in the church, and to get things done, and to get my picture up on the wall, and then we find out maybe we don't want the ball. When we learn what a deacon actually is, and what a deacon actually does, and what it requires of that person, and that there's not a whole lot of glory in that role. And there's not a whole lot that you get more than that picture on the wall. And that at the heart of being a deacon is something that's not glamorous at all. It's akin to what Jesus spoke about, not being the first, but being the least. And many people say, maybe I don't want the ball after all. At the heart of being a deacon is found in that Psalm 100 that David read at the beginning of worship. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. How do we respond to God for all that God does for us and all that God gives for us? And the New Revised Standard Version, the NIV, if you have those, in verse 2 it says, "Worship the Lord with gladness." But in truth, the Hebrew word albad there means serve the Lord with gladness. It's the word that means to orient your life so completely and fully and totally to a master. That sounds like being a slave. And who would willingly be a slave to another? And yet here, the call of thanksgiving is to be a slave to the master. to surrender oneself wholly, completely, utterly, to the point where the individual's will is lost in the will of the King. That word deacon comes close to that meaning. We know that the word deacon, and no doubt you've heard many deacon ordination sermons before, and in fact it's printed in this beautiful statement here, the act of ordination in your bulletin, that the word for deacon means quite literally servant or waiter. But as I told the deacons in the deacon training, that's not literally what the word means at all. It's like it is with English. There's a lot of words in our English language that they mean one thing, but literally they come from somewhere else. I'll give you an example. Take the word or the phrase worn out. If someone says, I am worn out, or where they, Hogwaller, where I'm from, they'd say, woe out. I'm just woe out. We know what they mean by that. They mean they're tired, they're exhausted, they've been working hard, but that's not literally what it means to be worn out, does it? What it literally means is to wear an article of clothing day in and day out, over and over again, until literally a hole is worn out and it's no longer useful. We don't really think through all of that when we hear someone say worn out, but all of that meaning is there, whether we're aware of it consciously or not, that what we're saying is, I've been used and used and worked until I'm just no good anymore. I'm worn out. Well, the word diakonos may mean servant, but literally it means through the dust. I want to let that just sort of sit on you for a second. To say someone is a deacon is to use the word through the dust. It refers to the act of serving, not the title. And quite literally what it refers to is the servants coming in and out of the kitchen door with such an enthusiasm and energy that they're kicking up dust as they go. And so when the doors fly open, you see the deacon coming through the dust. The deacon is not just a servant, but one who so enthusiastically and so energetically serves that every action is animated and with great force and great energy. So they serve with all they have through the dust. And what is the role of the deacon for then? Why do we have this heavy burden on this group of men and women? What is the purpose of the deacon team? It's to kill the pastor. Now, you know, that's one of those I think back to, I love Lucy. Lucy, you've got some explaining to do. Maybe when you see that title, you wonder, where is he going to go with this? But I have to admit, first of all, this is not my title. I borrowed this title from the new minister's handbook that was given to me when I was just a teenager, in fact, by Don Keyser, a former professor at Campbell, who's now deceased. And he said, there's a lot of great stuff in there. Well, the sermon in here, killing the pastor, is not one of them. The idea behind this sermon in this little book is that people tend to destroy ministers by all the pettiness, the little things. Like Will Willimon used to say, being a pastor is like being nibbled to death by tiny little ducks. That's where this sermon went with it. I don't need to go there, so I won't. I'll save that for, you know, 5 or 6 years down the road. But in my meaning of the use of that title, killing the pastor, I refer to the role of the deacons, not wearing a pastor out or burdening the pastor, but killing a false idea of pastor. So that when deacons serve the way they're called to serve and give themselves the way they're called to give, they kill a wrong-headed idea of the pastor so that the pastor could be free to be what a pastor is. That's what we see going on in this Acts passage that I want to read to you now from Acts chapter 6. Now, during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenes, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And then I'll add verse 7. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. What they were wrestling here with is what we wrestle with as a church every day, even today. Every church does. This notion that only the guy at the top or the woman at the top, the pastor, goes to visit the folks in the hospital, goes to see those who are homebound or in the nursing home, is the only one you call when you're sick. And in here, in this case, they were feeding the hungry and the homeless. They were caring for the needs of the people. And the people had the idea that this is what the apostles, who were the shepherds of that time, this was their job. And the shepherds said, "We like doing these things. We feel called to do these things as Christian people. But we do it to the point where we're neglecting all of these other vital, desperate responsibilities of caring for the spiritual nature of the body. The preaching of God's word, the teaching of God's word, the study of God's word, equipping leaders, training, pushing, offering vision and leadership." And so they said, "We need some waiters. We need some who will come through the dust for us." And they called out these 7. I think about my good friends at this moment, and they would say, "Well, you know, Mason, it's not all about you." And that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that there is a certain death that must come to that old mindset that only the pastor pastors. And that what a passage like this reminds us is that the pastor pastors, but not alone. That I am not by myself. That there are here at First Baptist Elon a strong group of men and women who know the meaning of the word service. You've seen it in their lives and you've called it out and said, "These people are the people that when I'm sick, I want them to know. I want them to care for me. That when I need prayer, I know these are the ones who will pray for me. That when I'm hurting, these are the ones I can trust." And what this does is it awakens within the body of Christ the opportunity for little old me to become a pastor, to be born in that right understanding of pastoring. And I stand today as one, and I get almost emotional when I think about deacons, that I could not do what I do without them. I would be lost without the deacons. And I thank God and I thank you for your commitment to your deacons, to see in the congregation those who are right for this task, to call them on it and push them towards that act of service, to stand by them and encourage them so that they might with full energy come through the dust for me and for you. And what happens in the body of Christ when we let the servants serve?
verse 7 said, the word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly, and a great many of the priests became obedient. That's powerful. And that's what we seek here in the ordination of Sandy today, that one more might come and fill that number of servants in this church. And so, Sandy, I invite you to come and have a seat here in this chair that's set aside for this purpose today. Sandy, the first act of ordination is the charge to you, the new deacon. But first, we want to acknowledge and recognize all those who are serving as our deacons actively for this coming year. So the deacon team, would you please at this time stand? And would you remain standing for just a moment? Congregation, I want you to look to these men and women. They are standing within this body of Christ as your servants. I want you to look to them and know that you can indeed do just that. Look to them when you have a need, when you have a hurt, when you're in trouble. Call on your deacons. Don't go to the hospital and leave the hospital without them knowing. Don't entrust for them to simply know what your needs are. They need you to tell them. Don't hope that they'll just figure it out where you're struggling. You have to tell them. And when you tell them, these are the ones that we have said will come through the dust for each one of you. Deacons, would you please be seated? And now to you, Sandy, I invite you to respond to this call for promise by, if you are willing, saying, I do. Do you promise to strive to live your life that you may honor Christ? And do you promise in the presence of God and this body of believers to accept the responsibilities of deacon in this church? And to the best of your ability, to put your faith to work as a servant of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, I pray that you would fill afresh this servant, Sandy, with your Holy Spirit for the task of deacon. That you would give her the energy and the enthusiasm that she needs. That you would give her a vision for this congregation. And that you would use her to build and strengthen your church. And Lord, I pray for all the members that they would look to Sandy, that they would entrust her, for she is your servant, bound to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And to the congregation, we have this charge. Do you, the members of First Baptist Church, acknowledge Sandy French as a deacon in this church? Do you promise to encourage and pray for her in her ministry and to cooperate with her in the fulfillment of the mission of this church? If you do, will you so indicate by rising? Sandy, take this as an affirmation that these people gathered here today believe in you because they believe in the Father who sent you. At this time, I want to invite all ordained deacons, whether you're actively serving or not, but if you are an ordained deacon here today, the invitation is for you to come down this aisle here to your left and to lay hands on Sandy. This is a symbol of passing the mantle, if you will, of responsibility. It symbolizes that the deacons who have gone through this, they also affirm this calling in Sandy's life, and they pass on encouragement and prayers. So deacons, at this time, would you come? If you're a visitor with us, I think the fact that when we called all the ordained deacons to come forward, more than half the church stood up. That tells you everything you need to know about First Baptist. But all members and all believers are ministers. And so Sandy comes not only with the endorsement and the encouragement of ordained deacons, but of the body of Christ. It says in the scripture in Acts 6 that we read that the whole assembly was involved in this process of calling. And so we invite you, whether you are a deacon or not, to come as a member, to come as a believer, and to offer a prayer of encouragement for Sandy as well. Would you come in the same way as the deacons came? And now the invitation to all of us as we sing our hymn of response, "We Are Called to Be God's People." It's hymn number 390. Would you stand as we respond to God's word together? With one final invitation tonight, our Bible study at 5:45, we will cover the entire Bible from the beginning to the end, and we will learn all about how it all fits together. And you think I'm joking, but if you do, come and find out tonight. Would you receive this blessing? May Christ, who showed us the deepest meaning of servanthood, lead you to be a servant to others, to be a child of God, a least of these, for the kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Where did the intro go? I don't know. He's been gone for the whole service.